And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Recall, if you, by the way, were checking the schedule and you saw that we had originally listed U.S. Senator Katie Britt at 3 p.m., we have moved that to 4 p.m., so we'll take care of that at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, I'm going to be jumping over here in a moment to the first part of the Dipper. Let me grab a few more text messages. Daryl from Huntsville. What are you telling me, Daryl? He says, some conservative talk dude suggested that the next GOP president looks exclusively outside D.C. when he hires his cabinet. Plenty of great, qualified, un-D.C. stained folks in the red states to choose from. Well, I would not disagree with that. I think you'll find that there will be some very good cabinet members who are not, you know, who are not, and they come from business. But I tell you what I want. I want a qualified candidate for every position. I'm so sick of what I'm seeing right now with the Biden administration breaking another glass ceiling. Let's find somebody who's the transgender, furry, you know, whatever else with a elementary school education, but they're the first one to ever be that way, and we're going to give them a top secret clearance and put them in charge of something special. So we got to get away from that kind of mess. Let's go back to meritocracy. You look for someone who, not on the basis of their skin color or their intersectionalities or their perceived grievances with the world, but the actual skills, you know, and they become a true, meaningful cabinet pick. Okay, that was a mini rant. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate you. Michael from Madison, talking about Biden. Every time Biden has to interact with people suffering a loss or tragedy that's happened or he caused, it's always the worst-looking thing he's done since the last time he's been in that situation. Yeah, it's just this whole trip to Hawaii, I'm glad he went. He needed to go. It was the right thing to go. He took too long. He should have made comments about it along the way. He should have had pictures of him on Zoom meetings with the governor or something. And he absolutely, who is advising this man? Where is his image consultant, for God's sake? Who is telling him things like, sir, while you're on the way to see the people who have lost everything and who have 100 people dead and 1,000 still missing, I think it'd be a great idea for you to stop off in Lake Tahoe and stay at the Billionaire's Resort. That'll be the best thing you could do, sir. Thank you. I'll take that advice. Who gives him this advice? Or anyway, you get my point. A couple more, and then I'll jump into my dippers. Jenny from Decatur. All caps, by the way. Jenny types in all caps today. Biden does not understand leadership because he's not a leader. You're exactly right. When he finally goes to Hawaii to speak to the Hawaiian people who have lost so much, he does not focus in on their losses. He has to talk about his losses. He always has to be about himself. And that is certainly one of the critiques that I have been seeing and feeling myself. Yep, you're absolutely right, Jenny. Tyler from Huntsville, and then he goes and tries to say he knows how they feel because he's almost lost his cat in a Corvette in a kitchen fire. It's awful. And then Frank from Huntsville says, President Biden made the people of Maui feel better because he almost lost his 68 Corvette in a fire. Yeah, you know, it's not hard to look. Okay, let's back up. You don't always have to fill every moment with words. In crisis counseling, I'll never forget. So here's a little aside. I'm just going to chase a rabbit here for a minute. I'll never forget. So I worked in full-time ministry for a number of years for an organization called Young Life. I remember my early Young Life training. And we were talking about when people suffer loss. And there was this one little vignette that stood out to me for years. And it was written from the perspective of the person who had suffered the loss. And they said, I was sitting there grieving, and a friend came. And he sat down next to me, and he said all the things I already knew. And he made sure that I heard them. And then he asked me, did I understand? And when he left, I was glad that he was gone. And another friend came and he sat next to me. He didn't say anything. He just sat with me. And I've never forgotten it. And I look at that and think, the lesson that I gained from that and what was emphasized to me in that lesson was you don't have to fill every moment with words. Biden doesn't know that. He believes he has to fill every moment with words. Now, granted, he was at a podium. I get it. He had a microphone in his hand, but he was trying to fill the moment with more words than were necessary. He needed desperately for them to understand that he understands. It's okay to look at someone who just lost everything in a way that you never have and say, I am so sorry. we're going to do everything it takes. That's all he had to do. All he had to do was say, I'm here, and I'm sorry it took me so long to get here, but I'm here. I'm devastated with you. Y'all are my people. We're going to do everything it takes. That's all he had to say. But no, he had to make up a story about his house burning and almost losing his 68 Corvette. No lie, no joke, man. The man needs a life coach. How about that? Camera from Decatur. President Biden feels the pain of the people of Mauritania, Hawaii. Amy from Danville says his optics advisor is helping Kamala. She's too busy. The optics advisor is way too busy with Kamala. And then John from Huntsville. John from Huntsville just says, hey, Boomer, tomorrow you ought to play some kind of pizza sound effects since Phil's going to be at Terry's Pizza in Huntsville. There is that. By the way, that's great. Thank you, John, for reminding me. Is there a pizza sound effect in the world? I have never heard of a pizza sound effect.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, he says. You got to turn your microphone on when you get those cracks. So, by the way, great point. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., Terry's Pizza, Bailey Cove Road, me, Yaffe, Dale Jackson, tons of Right Side Ruffians and other folks in the area. We're all going to be there at Terry's Pizza watching, having a watch party of the Republican primary debate, minus Trump. And then have a panel discussion with Yaffe and Dale and myself and Mecca Music, who I'm looking forward to meeting Mecca. And I just want to ask her, is that really your name? But apparently it really is. But Mecca Music, who is really good at what she does, and I look forward to meeting her in person. She'll be moderating the panel. And we'll see what kind of stuff we come up with. You guys want pizza and politics, tomorrow's the night. So, yeah, Terry's Pizza, Bailey Cove Road in Huntsville, 6 p.m., look forward to meeting a bunch of y'all in person that night. All right, let me do this. I am gonna go straight into my dippers, but you know what it means, Boomer. I got a sound effect here because I am cooking up some home fries. All right, you know the deal, home fries. We've got stuff happening all around us. Sometimes you look at what's happening in D.C. Sometimes you see the international. But folks, you got to know what's going on in your backyard. And I'm just gonna tell you. There's some actual big news. In fact, before I even rattle paper, I got to go to one that's on my screen right now because this one affects us. And people don't realize to the extent that it does. A story broke on Fox right before I went on the air. Headline, Biden administration takes action restricting oil and gas development after settlement with eco groups. Wait a minute. Last I checked, the price at the pump is going up again. I mean, the average price around the nation right now is $3.82 a gallon. $3.82 a gallon. Do you know when Trump left office, it was like $1.75? But right now, the Biden administration has taken additional action to restrict oil and gas development. Where? In the Gulf of Mexico, right off our southern border. Now, let me tell you two things that does. Number one, that impacts our energy independence even further and drives the price at the pump up higher. Not just the price of the pump, really. It's heating oil for the coming winter. It's, you know, it's all the things it takes to run businesses. It's shipping and receiving of goods in the United States. It's gonna have an impact on the economy by doing an additional regulatory burden on oil and gas in the Gulf of Mexico. Here's the other thing it does, Alabamians. Brace yourself for this. You may not know this. A lot of folks don't. When I went into office in 2010, I didn't know this. We have what's called the Rainy Day Fund or the Rainy Day Trust Fund, the Alabama Trust Fund, I believe it's called. It is fed from the royalties from offshore oil and gas leases. Huh. So if they are in Alabama waters, the state of Alabama actually makes a commission off of that, and it goes into the account that we use to basically prop things up when the budgets go down. It's money that we actually have billions set aside in that account right now. And you look at it and think, oh, that's great to know that we're that solvent. It's also amazing when you stop and think about the fact that Biden just bowed down to some ecology groups, eco groups, and is impacting our bottom line. We will see potentially less revenue coming to the state of Alabama now because of what he just did. That's not to mention the fact that some of those jobs, on those rigs and the expansion of oil and gas opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico are people that would live in Alabama and then go offshore to work. Here's the and by the way, the restrictions are just unbelievable in this so this is all part of home fries, right? Here's what they did. They're first of all, they set off another, where'd it go? Is it 23,000? Hang on a second. Okay, first of all, ships, regardless of any size, cannot go faster than 10 knots.
What?
And vessels should only travel through the area during daytime.
Okay.
And they also said that you have to have visual observers aboard all vessels because they're concerned about a form of whale that is in the Gulf that may be impacted. And then on top of that, they removed 11 million acres of oil-rich lease blocks from any other leasing. So they just took a whole section away that can't ever be developed. They put restrictions on that are unbelievably restrictive to make it to where you're going to be putting, using a trolling motor as you go through the Gulf of Mexico. And you got to have, you got to pay now to have a guide on there or at least post somebody to watch the waters as you go through. And at the same time, see less revenue coming to the state of Alabama. Wow. And that broke just about an hour ago. I'll tell you what, that's a perfect spot for me to take a break. We'll take a break right now. Come back with home fries. What did our attorney general say about Space Command? Well, there's an investigation about to launch, and he's calling for it. Y'all stay tuned for that. And then the court came back. What about transgender surgeries on kids in Alabama? I'll tell you about it. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground as we just basically make common sense a superpower. All right, hey, listen, I'm in home fries. Let's kick that sound effect in. Oh man, I get hungry every time. Okay, home fries, things that are happening around us. Story here on 1819 News, Attorney General Steve Marshall. He is not, by the way, I think in recent years, people have begun to realize how important it is to have an attorney general of your state who is willing to go to bat on the issues that the people care about. It's not just that he's there to prosecute crime within the state. He is. That's certainly his job. But he is also there, by the way, to defend the interests of the state in the broader sense. And I just look at some of the things that he's been going to bat on. I'm thinking, man, I don't think I've ever seen an attorney general busier. And I know that we've had some, you know, Troy King. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen one busier, is what I'm saying. Busier doing things that you're like, wow, I didn't know they could, but they are. Here's the thing. Space Command. Everybody knows this thing was politically motivated. Everybody, I mean, all God's children can see political motivation. Story here on 1819 News, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall sent a letter this past Thursday, to the U.S. Department of Defense's Inspector General demanding an investigation into the sudden reversal of the decision to locate Space Command headquarters in Huntsville. All right, so I believe that Congressman Mike Rogers has also launched an investigation. But the change of preference here, and the reason why we have the Inspector General being, you know, potentially triggered, is because of General Dickinson, the Space Command commander. Y'all remember a few weeks ago, how long has it been, Boomer? 2 weeks since I said, kind of almost like as an aside, I bet he bought his retirement house in Colorado already.
Oh, absolutely. It was about 2 weeks ago when we talked about that.
Congressman Strong on like the next day. Yeah. Yeah, and then Congressman Strong even said, oh, yeah, I've already heard this. I was like, okay, I guessed right. And the next thing you know, Senator Britt puts out the statement saying, not only did he buy one, he bought a $1.5 million 20-acre ranch right down the road from Space Command in Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah. Never disclosed that to stakeholders in the process. And now Marshall is imploring the Inspector General to investigate the oddly timed investment by General Dickinson, which coincided with his recommendation against the Air Force move, Air Force's preferred site in Huntsville. So what he's basically saying there is, he wants, because right now, here's the deal. This even points out, news reports have credited Dickinson, General Dickinson, with convincing Biden to switch to Colorado. So did we see a decision advising the President of the United States by a senior leader that was based solely upon that senior leader having a house he preferred to stay in? I would love to believe it wouldn't be that shallow. And I also believe that there's a whole lot of things that are going on, and Biden is probably using Dickinson as his fall guy. Well, Dickinson told me this would be the best thing for readiness. Sure he did. Sure. That's what happened. But then you look at Dickinson buying his home just a few months ago, and you think, good Lord, that's really bad optics there, boss. So we'll see what happens. Attorney General Home Fries, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, asking for an IG investigation. Here's another one. So you remember this, was it last year? Yes, last year, 2002. They called it the VCAP bill, the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act. This is the bill that Alabama led the nation on having a legislation in place that prevents transgender surgeries and hormone therapies on minors in the state of Alabama. And of course, apoplectic, and people are just falling apart because, my God, I can't emasculate my son. What am I going to do? I need to be able to alter my daughter's body chemistry. What do I do? Well, you can go to another state then, thank you very much. If you got the money to pay for that kind of elective surgery, then I imagine you can go drive over to, Oklahoma or wherever they still do it. But Alabama's not alone now. There's a number of states that have gone through this process. Well, of course it went to court. Of course it did, because that's what happens. All the usual liberal groups found their, plaintiffs, and they went to court. And Judge Lyles Burke kind of surprised a lot of people because Judge Lyles Burke is a conservative guy, generally speaking. He enjoined the enforcement of the act in part. He enjoined it as to the hormone therapies, meaning the surgeries were going to stop because the act had passed, but he was not going to make them stop doing hormone therapy because it wasn't proven that that was irreversible. Well, just yesterday, thank goodness, AL.com was beside itself because AL.com is a liberal rag. AL.com is beside itself because Alabama can now enforce the ban after a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals reversed Judge Lyles Burke's decision and basically said, you know what? The law is completely enforceable. It all comes to a stop. A trial is currently scheduled for April of next year on whether to allow the law to stay in place permanently. But in the meantime, ain't no stopping it. And of course, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, the LGBTQ Legal Advocates and Defenders Organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Human Rights Campaign have all said that they are devastated and deeply disappointed. Well, of course they are, because they don't care. All right, listen, we got a few more Home Fries issues. We're going to be taking a break here in a moment, and my gosh, the text messages are already coming in. Brian from Huntsville, thinking back to the story I did on the Gulf, he says, 10 knots. Air Force One and Marine One should be limited to 11.5 miles per hour as well. 11.5 miles per hour. It's going to take you an awful long time to sail in from the Gulf at these rates. Do they have like radar guns out there? They have traffic cops in the Gulf now? Figures. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and like the dude just said, covering down on all of it, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Boomer, I saw Scott from Athens just texted in. This is one of those texts that like makes me want to come back to the studio every day.
That's cool. What's that?
Well, so a lot of effort goes into those monologues. You know, it's one of those things where I've even told Charlene, I said, why did I start this? Because it's like, you know, every night I'm working on a monologue for the next day. Anyway, Scott from Athens has texted in and said, the monologues are always pure gold for homeschoolers. There's current events, history, character, and so much more all rolled up into one. Man.
Wow.
Thank you, Scott. I can go all day on that, brother. I really appreciate that. Tony from Piedmont says, It's called this Christianity. See if you can find, I don't know what he's telling me. Okay. I think he's trying to send me an emoji that did not come through, Tony. So try again, brother. Got a text from, I don't know what we got here. Thank you, Frank. But you send me links to go look and read things while I'm on the air. I appreciate it. It's not always going to work out that way. Susan from Elkmont. Is it true that administration is selling off the border wall? Yes, it is. So the headline I saw wasn't clear if the supplies laying there or if they're being or they're dismantling the wall. They're not dismantling the wall. They're selling the supplies that had been, you know, set aside to build the wall. I mean, so yeah, that's a great point. So, Susan, I've got a whole thread that I plan to do tomorrow. I've already pre-planned on the border issues. And the fact is, yes, the Biden administration is actually selling off supplies and materials that had been stockpiled for the construction that was underway that they stopped. I mean, it's not like they have to go out and buy it. It's already there. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we were also having to pay for it to be stored in these lots where it was being held, stacked up, some of it just rusting away because it wasn't yet treated. It was going to be painted after it was put in place. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It was absolute waste. Susan from Elkmont, thank you. I'll talk about that more tomorrow, I believe. Ray from Harvest, going to be really fun to see them try to enforce those maritime speed limits on non-U.S. vessels. Yeah, he signed off as old Sarge. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate your service. Tony from Piedmont, he says, Sean Hannity started in Huntsville, went to WGST in Atlanta, then to New York and Fox News. He's like Dr. Laura and the Money Man. Show us. Okay. All right, there you go. He did, by the way. He actually started right here where we are right now. Sean Hannity started on WVNN, where I am in Huntsville, in the same time slot that we are right now. I'm not trying to portray something or say that I'm going to be Sean Hannity. I'll be glad to just take half his paycheck. Half. That's all we want is half. I'm just trying not to be greedy. All right, back to home fries. Let me finish this up here in this segment. If you're not aware, what are they now? The fourth largest city in the state is Montgomery. It's also our state capital, obviously. Mayor Reed, Stephen Reed is the mayor. He and Randall Woodfin are the two most liberal mayors, two of the most liberal mayors probably in the Southeast. Mayor Reed is having to run for re-election, and he's got some competition. There are some that say that it's really down to him and one other guy named Barrett Gilbreth, and I believe Barrett Gilbreth has never been in politics before. I could be wrong. But the bottom line is this. 1819 News has a piece that came out this morning. There's a Mobile police sergeant who gained national attention. He's a black guy. A police officer in Mobile, calling out violence in black communities and encouraging Montgomery residents to vote their conscience because violence has increased under Mayor Stephen Reed. But then he points out that Mayor Reed, as a part of his pre-election festivities, is featuring rap artists like a guy named Rubber Band OG, whose lyrics promote violence and gang culture at a time when crime is running rampant in Montgomery streets. And this Officer John Young, a black guy himself, he says this. When a person has a platform where thousands of people will listen to them, they have to have a more positive message. We have to turn our backs on this degrading, self-destructive, black-on-black, violence-promoting song. Who wants to promote that, he says. Why should that be encouraged? Montgomery is filled with gun violence just like Mobile, just like Birmingham. And then he goes on to say this, his words, not mine. He says, look in the mirror, Montgomery. Look in the mirror, Birmingham and Mobile, and be honest with yourself. This self-destructive, self-promoting subculture of violence is killing black families. And then he kind of wrapped it up with this way, talking about Mayor Reed. He says, any black man promoting that is not worthy of attention. He should be ignored. He would not exist in the 1960s. A black man promoting violence against black people would have been shunned. You know, at these types of concerts, this type of music, there's a propensity for violence. And if they have that concert, I hope no one gets shot. Well, that's the mayor of the capital city, the fourth largest city in the state. And he's being called out by a law enforcement officer who, by the way, has the street cred. And if you want to get down to it, has the skin color to be able to say that, and it sticks. Okay, home fries. I'm still in stuff happening around here. Do you remember a few months ago we had this crazy situation with Birmingham Southern College spending themselves into oblivion, could no longer keep up with paying the bills, asked the state to just give them a bailout? Huh. Man, we talked hard about that on this show. Boomer's shaking his head right now. We talked hard about that on this show.
Really hard about that.
Really hard about that. We had a couple of guests on to talk about that. We talked to the legislators about that. Thought it was going to go nowhere. Then they passed a bill. They didn't give away the money, sort of. They're giving out loans. So now we have the Distressed Institutions of Higher Education Revolving Loan Program Fund. $30 million was set aside. $30 million, and the state treasurer has to deal with it. But the state treasurer is questioning the whole thing now. I hold this up to the camera for your
edification. They should be questioning it.
They should be questioning it a lot. Yellowhammer News has this story. Grayson Everett wrote it. And Young Boozer is our state treasurer, who, by the way, by his own admission, has the coolest name for politics. Put that on a sign. Young Boozer. Anyway, he says, we are seeking an opinion of the Attorney General on the constitutionality of such a loan program. Meaning he's looking at it going, okay, I don't know that I can do this. You guys in the legislature can do your thing, but y'all, you're asking me to be in charge of it? I'm just not sure this is a good idea. And so he's asked the AG for an AG's opinion on the constitutionality. Not the enforceability, not the workability, the actual constitutionality. And that'll be as to the state and the federal constitution. He says, once we've received the opinion, we plan to proceed as expeditiously as we can. According to the law, though, keep this in mind, the only way you can qualify for this loan, they kind of narrowed it down. They might as well just call it the Birmingham Southern Loan Program. Any public or private college or university in Alabama must have been in operation in Alabama more than 50 years, must have a quote-unquote substantial impact on its community. How do they judge that? And be in danger of closing due to financial distress. Here's the thing. If they're in danger of closing due to financial distress, they better come to this loan with a plan of how they're going to do something different so that we don't give them the money so they can keep doing more of the same. That's the thing. This is like in the loan industry when we had the savings and loans, the crisis that occurred some years back, and what they were doing was making subprime loans. People who never should have bought a house were buying a house because they didn't have good credit, because they didn't have good income, because everything that we're supposed to do to qualify for a loan wasn't really there. And look what it did to our economy. And now what we're doing here is we're saying, hey, are you a distressed education institution? We'd like to loan you millions of tax dollars. We'll see how this goes. Last thing I got here, I got a couple, but I'll tell you what, I'll take this one. Alabama Daily News has the story. I've been telling you guys, man, the medical Alabama Cannabis, the Medical Cannabis Association is just a goat rodeo. And they're being sued. And they're being sued a lot. And the story here in Alabama Daily News, Alabama's bumpy rollout of medical marijuana divides the industry advocates and the players. So basically, everybody wants a piece. And so now a guy named Marty Shelper, he's the founder and the president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, meaning he's a lobbyist. He's called for Governor Ivey to call a special session. She won't. But he's still calling on a special session to give lawmakers the opportunity to remove the cap on the number of licenses the state can issue. I'll be honest with you, he's not wrong in that regard. Who ever heard of saying, we're going to start a brand new business, a new industry in the state of Alabama, but only a few of you can play? That's not the free market. And he points that out. This legislation is everything that Republicans say they are not. And here we are. All right, there you go. Home fries. Lots of things happening in your state. Coming up top of the hour, don't forget we're going to have U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in and talk to her about a few things. I'll be kicking off with that here in a moment. Next thing on the Triple Dipper, mixed money signals. What? Yes, Biden wants more money. And the Freedom Caucus is having none of it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.